At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
Hey, everyone. Quick warning at the top. We are talking about YouTubers and sometimes they use bad language. Back in the spring, there was this moment that, to me, summed up the problem with YouTube perfectly.
The Judiciary Committee will come to order.
The House Judiciary Committee was holding a hearing on the rise of white nationalism. They'd invited the big tech companies to testify. Executives from Facebook and YouTube sat right next to each other, defending the way they fight hate speech online.
Often in this space, we've found that content can sit in a gray area that comes right up against the line. It may be offensive, but it does not violate YouTube's policies against incitement to violence and hate speech.
What happened in Washington, honestly, it was kind of boring. But not if you were watching the hearings on YouTube's live stream. That's where viewers began railing against Jews, describing the hearing as anti-white. YouTube disabled the comments for a while, but many are still up today. This whole thing is a metaphor for how the storm of hateful rhetoric moves on YouTube and how hard it is for the site itself to control the damage. But it turns out, in the middle of the storm, there's a siren. She's calling out to people who feel adrift.
Comfort ye, my subscribers. So saith your goddess, for it is I, the digital messiah.
Her name is Natalie.
The online oracle, the social media savior, yay. Verily, I say.
And should we call her ContraPoints or Natalie?
Maybe it's hard to say.
Yeah.
I think it's simplest to just call her ContraPoints.
Micah Loewinger has been following ContraPoints. Natalie, for the last few months. He's been reporting on her for the WNYC show On the Media. Okay, but describe what I'm seeing.
Okay,
right,
excuse
now.
Me. So she often begins many of her videos in some extraordinarily decadent, extravagant costume.
I feel like I'm watching a drag show.
Yes, I'm sure she would admit to being heavily influenced by drag culture.
ContraPoints delivers political arguments, but set inside a lush, mythological world. Watching her is a little like dropping acid and staring into a disco ball, all while debating philosophy with your best friend. The videos are gorgeous, they're addictive, and they are built to fight alt-right YouTube from the inside.
But she's in on the joke. She's funny. She's making fun of herself. She's making fun of people on the left a little bit. She makes really crude jokes. For a little while, her Twitter bio was sex, drugs, and social justice. Like, she's got an edge. This persona is hilarious and funny, and in her words, the exact opposite of what you'd expect from a so-called social justice warrior.
Today on the show, how to change the alt-right's mind. It turns out ContraPoints is doing it. Mike is going to try to break down why it seems to be working. I'm Mary Harris. You're listening to What Next? Stick with us. This episode is brought to you by Discover. When it comes to your finances, Discover wants you to know they are the credit card that is always there for you. With 24/7 US-based live customer service, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. We are talking real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Tell me a little bit about who ContraPoints is.
So ContraPoints, a.k.a. Natalie Nguyen, is a 30-year-old trans woman, and she has become perhaps the most recognizable face of a new cohort of leftist YouTubers.
But how did she get started? I mean, where does she live in the world?
So she lives in Baltimore, Maryland. She got into YouTube way back when, had a not super successful channel, but was sort of interested in the ecosystem of YouTube. Stopped doing that, pursued a PhD in philosophy, and in this program, in this PhD philosophy program at a very prestigious university, decided that this field was not exciting her. Talking about like Hegel and Nietzsche, it was increasingly divorced from what she thought was like the actual debates that mattered. And she left with a master's. She very briefly was a professor, an adjunct professor, and she just knew like this is not for me. But when she left, she wasn't sure what she was going to do. And she was a clerk for a little while. She was an Uber driver. She was drinking a lot. And in her earliest videos, when she got back to YouTube, she's still male presenting.
Well, Natalie's evolution seems very internet-y to me because this is the way the internet works. It doesn't respond well when you try to erase your history. But when you openly acknowledge it, cross things out, replace things, internet likes that.
It's an especially big deal on YouTube where being candid, being authentic, showing viewers like the real you is something that viewers have a deep hunger for. And people also have like a pretty sophisticated bullshit detector. So if you're watching a YouTuber who really looks like they're faking it or they're ripping off other YouTubers, people know right away.
Yeah, it's like an uncanny valley.
Exactly.
Like you're not really you.
Exactly.
So back in 2014, 2015, Natalie starts seeing these YouTube videos pop up from the alt-right and feels this like urge to respond.
Totally.
What happened there?
What I think she was witnessing was that a certain set of reactionary politics that blamed feminism, liberalism in general, minorities, basically everyone who's not straight white dudes, for somehow destroying Western culture.
What do these videos look like?
A lot of them are kind of grainy webcam videos of usually like a white guy looking at the camera, sometimes showing videos of a campus protester getting really emotional, you know? You know, these people's ideas are just hysterical. You know,
snowflake.
They're snowflake. They're not rational. They're completely driven by emotion. They get professionally offended. Their whole ideology is based on being offended and angry and using terms like racist and sexist to silence us, to silence the real conversation.
And she starts singling out specific YouTubers and just going very, very deep. I think one of her more interesting videos, ContraPoints, is where she takes on Jordan Peterson.
Yes.
Who is a psychology professor at the University of Toronto.
Yep.
And he's really made this space for himself as kind of a self-help guru for white guys,
mm-hmm.
where he comes in and he says, well, the problem here is uppity women.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think is interesting about ContraPoints' response to him is that, first of all, she has a couple of moments where she acknowledges she wants to speak to Jordan Peterson's followers.
Seriously, he's got a lot of fans on YouTube, and I hope you guys are here because I want to talk. A lot of leftists who have responded to Peterson haven't really engaged with his ideas very much. He's often caricatured, avoided, or talked past, as in the...
And then she picks apart his arguments, but she does it, I wouldn't quite say in a loving way, but in a funny way, where she kind of acknowledges the truth in what he's saying. She respects the fact that people who are drawn to Peterson feel like they need something that he's providing.
Yes. I also like in that video where she says, like, there are certain things I like about how conservatives talk about the world. You know, they talk about what is the good life. And she says, sometimes I'm concerned that on the left, we mostly talk about why things are bad and we don't talk about what is good. I mean,
well, she says, we tell you what not to do.
Yes.
Like, don't wear blackface. But we don't tell you what to do other than use the right pronouns.
Yeah. This is a side of ContraPoints that some people find extremely refreshing, and I think other people kind of bristle at, and they don't love. But I certainly do think it makes her a more credible voice speaking to, let's say, Jordan Peterson fans and people much further to the right when you see that she's willing to concede some ground. She's not just an ideologue who's going to shout at you and wave her finger in your face. She's going to say, no, like, Jordan Peterson is onto something. There's something here. And in general, she does a good job of recognizing why people are interested in right-wing politics in the first place.
So ContraPoints isn't afraid to engage with ideas that other progressives might not touch. But she also studies alt-right chatter, and she uses alt-right language as a way to lure in viewers who might not find her otherwise. And then, her videos are all wrapped up in the visual language of the internet. ContraPoints is, for lack of a better word, a giddy left-wing troll.
I think one of her guiding principles is that we are a little too obsessed as a intellectual culture with, like, facts and evidence, which is not to say that we should lie, but we should recognize that people don't form their politics in this purely rational way. It's not like, oh, I voted for Trump, but then I saw that Washington Post fact check and I saw that he was lying about that thing. And now I believe, you know, now I don't
now I'm
support
Biden
Trump.
100%.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think we all want to see ourselves as rational and smart and going with what's the most logical thing. And certainly when you watch ContraPoints videos, she is, I would say, extremely rational. You know, that ex-philosopher way of speaking and breaking down ideas is on full display. That said, she is far more invested in the style and in the narrative and in the presentation. For her, that is really, she told me, you know, politics is a circus, not a forum.
What's interesting about hearing you talk is that I feel like a lot of the coverage of radicalism on YouTube has focused on the idea that the algorithm did it.
Mm-hmm.
That, and there's truth to that. There is an algorithm that incentivizes you to stay on the website longer.
Yeah.
And therefore feeds you more and more extreme content. But I wonder if looking at ContraPoints videos shows that that's really not the whole story.
It's not the whole story. The algorithm is going to feed you videos based on your viewing history. So I'm skeptical of the narrative that the perfect children who one day they go in as a perfect naive kid and the next day they leave as a fascist. Like, that's a little too technophobic, and, like, we shouldn't just completely blame the technology. A lot of YouTube videos and YouTubers are really edgy, and there is certainly a process by which I think people become desensitized to popular videos that are at least partially harmful, and people start to seek out edgier, further right political content, whether they know that they're doing it or not. And the YouTube is sort of, the algorithm is sort of dancing alongside this desensitization to the content.
Well, you spoke to a whole bunch of people who had gone down the alt-right rabbit hole on YouTube and then stumbled on ContraPoints videos and had a change of heart.
Totally.
When you talked to them, what'd you find?
So one guy I spoke to, his name is Jake. And he's an Australian guy who's 19 now.
And so young.
He's young. That's YouTube's viewership. He had sort of gotten sucked pretty deep down the rabbit hole. I think this is a pretty extreme case. And he ended up in, like, the outright fascist part of the site where people stop speaking in dog whistles and they start just kind of saying what they believe. He got really, really into this stuff and decided to watch ContraPoints originally because he was like, well, I'm going to hate watch her and I'm going to learn how to more effectively argue against her ideas, which is something I heard a good bit, you know. And what they found was she's really funny. She's not the SJW, the social justice warrior, I thought she would be. She's not nearly as helpless and hysterical as the women I see in those anti-social justice warrior compilations that are extremely popular on YouTube.
Tell me a little bit more about Jake. Like, What's his story? Just give me a little brief bio of him.
Sure. So he is he's an Australian teenager. He grew up in Queensland. He says he was in a fairly socially conservative upbringing. And around when he was 15 or 16, he started to suspect that he might be gay. And I don't think he was comfortable talking about it with his friends and his family. And this was around the same time that he was getting into like the edgier and edgier parts of YouTube. And it wasn't until he started watching ContraPoints that I think he was like, I've been kind of misled in a lot of ways. And then also, I think once he started to swing to the left, I think he started to feel more comfortable with his sexuality and sort of being honest with himself and those around him.
So what happened to Jake? He came out of, I'll call it a right-wing tailspin,
mm-hmm.
and went in a different direction. Did he end up in the middle of the road? Like, where did he end up politically?
So I didn't talk about this in my piece, but he identifies as Marxist. So he...
So he went from one side to the other.
Yes. And the question is why? Like, why did that happen?
Micah doesn't have an answer here. Not yet. But he talked to more than a dozen converts like Jake in the course of his reporting. He says this is a story he heard again and again, that former alt-right conservatives who were moved by ContraPoint's videos didn't shake off their beliefs and become centrists. Instead, many of the people he spoke with became radical leftists.
There are maybe two ways of explaining it, and I'm not in these people's heads. And again, it's not a huge sample size. I think it gets a little bit more into messaging and political philosophy. The idea that a lot of people who develop these radical far-right politics are deeply dissatisfied with the way our society is run. It's like the right and the left both believe the status quo is broken and is wrong.
Yeah, it stood out to me that a lot of the people you spoke to, or at least a lot of the people that you spoke about in your reporting who had sort of seen ContraPoint's content and it had really resonated with them, they had similar stories about having some kind of disjuncture like that. I was raised conservative. All of a sudden, I realized I was gay. I was raised in a certain way, or I went to college, and all of a sudden, I realized maybe I'm trans. And it's hard to know whether that's a function of who ContraPoints is and who would be attracted to her content, or whether there's something more there.
Perhaps I made too much of that archetype in my piece. I will say that in a lot of these right-wing places online, there's a lot of deep repression. There is a lot of mocking of emotional vulnerability and of a lot of insecure and shy people who are open about that but are blaming other people and blaming some aspect of our culture for their own discomfort. I also think that a lot of people form politics on what they're exposed to. And at least on YouTube and on 4chan and on Tumblr for a while and on Reddit for a while, there were some really, really active right-wing places that I think are just like attractive to the teenage mind. You know, they're funny, they're irreverent, they're naughty, everyone speaks a special language, and they're exposed to this culture. I don't think the left has been particularly good up until now, maybe, at bringing that kind of experience that's fun and naughty and in its original manifestation really harmful, but bringing the sort of allure of internet culture to their politics. And I think maybe that's partially why Natalie Wynn and many of these other successful YouTubers are having success.
Who is Natalie Wynn fighting now? Because when you interviewed her, she said, where is the alt-right now? It seems like after Charlottesville, a bunch of people went to ground. A lot of people got deplatformed.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen her talking about the far right that much. She's kind of stopped talking about them. And as you mentioned, she said, like, a lot of these right-wing figures that had dominated the platform are gone. So she's not necessarily fighting them anymore. But one thing she is interested in doing is transitioning, she said, into makeup tutorials. Because makeup tutorials are huge on YouTube.
As a way to talk politics.
Yes. Yeah. So I think this speaks to a larger phenomenon of what has been successful on left-wing YouTube, which is meet people where they are. Where people get their politics is changing. And she's actually fascinated by the beauty culture of YouTube. And why can't I bring some of these ideas to that community? They're sort of ripe for an introduction to politics. And I just think that that's where our political discussions are headed, just more and more meeting people where they are.
Michael Loewinger, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Michael Loewinger is a producer for On the Media from WNYC Studios. Go check him out in your podcast feed. All right, that's the show. If you're like me, you are picking up your phone and you're about to scroll through and look for the next thing to listen to. So when you do that, I've got a tip for you. Do not sleep on The Gist, hosted by Mike Pesca. On today's show, he is going to be talking to Politico's Tim Alberta about his new book, American Carnage. It's all about the turmoil in the Republican Party as Trump closed in on the nomination into his actual presidency. This show is produced by Mary Wilson, Jason DeLeon, and Ethan Brooks, with super special guest appearance help today by Katya Kumkova. I'm Mary Harris, and I'm going to talk to you tomorrow.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
On Death, Sex, and Money, we feature interviews with you, our community of listeners, getting honest about uncomfortable things.
I developed an illness where it isn't safe for me to drive. A friend once said to me, sex is like air. You don't think about it until you're not getting enough. This is a similar sort of thing if you just replace sex with driving.
Listen to Death, Sex, and Money wherever you get podcasts.